The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God who is in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, how much are you worth to the community, to the church? How much do you possess in stocks and bonds and real estate? What is your earning power? How much do you make in a day? How much do you save? For how much would you be able to sell yourself if you were looking for a job? And you and your services in such demand that you would be able to set your own price? Men and women were bought and sold in ancient days, as we sell cattle and furniture. Kings traded women from their harem for a good horse. Joseph was sold by his brothers for 20 pieces of silver. In the Roman Empire, a slave was bought for 30 pieces of silver. Life and people were dirt cheap. In the United States of America, slaves were sold for $400 and more. The highest price ever paid for slaves was paid for us human beings, and so for you too. The one who bid on you and paid the price demanded was Jesus Christ. That is what Paul says to the Corinthian Christians in our text. You were bought at a price. The purchase price was the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. The theme of our sermon is, you are bought and paid for. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, Jesus meets the redemption price. Jesus paid the full redemption price to set us free. We are born into this world as slaves. We are slaves to sin. Often, some specific sin takes hold of us and chains us down. By our own efforts and accomplishments, we are unable to unshackle ourselves. These sins are not all the same in all of us, or at least sin does not appear as sin in the same manner to all. Upon the sensitive conscience of the Apostle John, the smallest sin in the eyes of the world burns as a consuming fire and must be forgiven. On the other hand, a Herod and an Ahab could murder with hardly any qualms of conscience. We are slaves to sinful man. As Simon Peter warmed himself at the enemy's fire in the patio of Caiaphas' palace, he was afraid of men and their threats, and therefore denied Jesus three times. Our associates in the community or at work may be indifferent to their soul's salvation and ignore God and use the Saviour's name in vain. They may ridicule people who go to church faithfully and belittle all that is noble and Christian. Because we do not want to lose their goodwill and friendship, we break with the church, God, and the better things of life. We become slaves of these friends and their sinful ways. The Jews were slaves to the law, observing certain regulations mechanically. They restricted their movements to obtain praises of other people. They were play actors of ceremonies, which they were afraid to neglect. Isaiah says that the people walked away backwards. They did not dare turn the back upon the altar, but with every step they went further away. All this was a show and a pretense, and their heart was not in the act and worship. By nature, then, we are slaves, separated from God and lost, and we are not able ourselves to do anything about it. Secondly, your body is bought. Our bodies too we have from God. Originally we belonged to God. God created us perfect and sinless in the beginning of time. But this masterpiece has been marred by sin. True, much of this marvellous creation remains. The eye, the hand, the heart. Even though we are born sinful, subject to pain and death, God still preserves us. He is still interested in our well-being. Any pressure on the brain, any mutilation of the body, would disable us. And yet, we are far from perfect. Our moral and spiritual concepts are deadened. We are far away from God, and the heathen in his blindness bows down to wood and stone. We have been kidnapped by Satan, who tries to make us believe, and he succeeds, that we are better off away from God or without God. He leads us into places where we are brainwashed to think that we are freer if we stay away from the church and the gospel. Often we do not realize how pathetic and hopeless we are in this state and condition. We are slaves in such a world of sin. But from this enslavement, Jesus has freed us. He has bought us with his lifeblood on Calvary. This is gospel, good news, because Jesus redeemed the whole world of sinful humanity. This includes you and me, in fact all people, the poor and the rich, the gangster and the law-abiding citizen, the humble and the proud, the young and the old. There are no exceptions. If this is true, and it is, then you and I are the most precious and valuable of all creatures. The price at which we were bought has never been equaled. This deal has changed our ownership. This does something to us. When a man purchases, for example, a house, he makes changes which are to his liking. He paints, he refurnishes, and he landscapes. Jesus does this with you and me. He makes us over. He changes our inside, the heart, and our outside, our behaviour. We are washed white through the forgiveness of all our sins. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, which makes us acceptable to God. We are free in and through Jesus Christ, free to love him, to serve him, and to live a Christian life. Therefore, men and women ought to see Christ in us. Of Peter and John, it is said in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Believing that the Lord bought us, we become different. Our thinking and our conduct changes. Thirdly, you are branded. As Christians, then, we are branded. In ancient days, slaves were marked with a symbol which told the world that they belonged to a certain master. Certain cults and tribes in Africa cut deep gashes into their cheekbones or their arms to identify themselves. Christians are branded, not by tattooing, disfigurations and the like. Our behaviour, our smiles and our kindly deeds set us apart. In this new relationship with Christ, we gain certain advantages, privileges and blessings. These consist of more than life pensions and old age securities. In this world we are nourished with the gospel and find that peace which passes all understanding and possess a hope which makes us unafraid of death and the judgment. We can come unannounced to the throne room in prayer. The door is open 24 hours each day. Sin which broke our contact with God has been removed, and we can speak to God just as a friend confides to a friend. We are certain that heaven is our permanent home. Therefore we fear no evil as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All this is ours because we belong to Jesus, body and soul, now and in eternity. We belong to Christ, and no one can pluck us out of his hands. Fourthly, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Being bought and paid for and branded, the Holy Spirit takes full possession of us and claims us as his own. Scripture says in our text, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Spirit actually creates that faith in us which brought us into the full possession of Jesus. Our service belongs to God. As Christ's property, we are to be used by him. God has made an investment in us, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us to see that we render an acceptable service in his grace in which we stand. With all our abilities and possessions, we are to be dedicated to Christ who has redeemed us. This is the return on the investment which God has made. Our heart we are to give to Christ. Give me your heart, Scripture says. Our mind is to be filled with thoughts of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Our words are to serve God's purpose too. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You are my witness, says Jesus Christ. Our time belongs to Christ. Redeeming the time, says Paul, work while it is day. Our earthly goods are to be used to advance Christ's church. God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus does not look upon the size of the gift, but upon the motive which prompted the giving. He said that the widow who gave two mites in the temple had given more than all the others put together. Why? Because she loved her Lord and she gave her all. It cannot be otherwise if the Holy Spirit is in our hearts and directs our every thought. No sacrifice is too great, for after all, even though slaves of Jesus, we are his friends, protected and kept against that day, when we shall be confessed by him as his own before his Father in glory. There we shall have a fullness of joy eternally. Finally, you are not your own. Persistently, Scripture stresses that we have no right to live as we please. Not my will, but thine be done, must be our desire. This means sacrifice and self-denial. God wants heroes of faith, not softies. God wants dedicated lives, not lukewarm servants who are indifferent and slow to act. We have no right as temples of the Holy Spirit to live selfish lives. We are pinned, we are branded, we are consecrated. We have no right to live a Christless life. People must know that we belong. Daniel rather went to the lion's den than ignore God and cease speaking to him in prayer. The three men in Nebuchadnezzar's court were not afraid of the fiery furnace, and therefore refused to bow to the king's idol when the trumpet of dedication was sounded. Christians always identify themselves. They worship. They partake of the sacrament in the upper room. They pray daily. Their conduct and behaviour is such that none can fail to note that they belong to Jesus. Jesus appreciates our service and devotion to him. He says to each one who has served him well, come, enter into the joy of the Lord. And today Jesus knocks at the door of our hearts and says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So let us close with the words of the hymnist. Wash me and take away each stain, let nothing of my sin remain. For cleansing, though it be through pain, Christ crucified I come. And then for work to do for thee, we shall so sweet a service be, that angels well might envy me, Christ crucified I come. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.